Today, Pastor Ray Bentley has insights on how we should relate to our God.
God doesn't just want you to believe in Him, He wants you to trust Him. Trust Him with your life, trust Him with your failures, trust Him with everything. When you trust in God from your heart, you are opening a channel from heaven. You are inviting the power and the glory of heaven itself into your personal heart and life.
Spread the news. All of His people coming bow before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. The Capilano Suspension Bridge in Vancouver is the highest and longest footbridge in the world. Millions have experienced it. Millions more have seen it and said no thanks. Belief is saying, it'll probably hold me just fine. Trust is walking across the bridge. Today, we'll take a step and trust in God.
Mark chapter 10, the title of the message is All Things Possible with God. All things possible with God. We meet a young man, beginning in verse 17, the rich young ruler, as he is called. It says in verse 17, now as he was going out on the road, now listen to this, one, and this would be the young man, came running to Jesus. Here's a young man. So I speak to those who are young tonight and to those who are young at heart tonight, running to Jesus. And then he not only ran to Jesus, which, you know, if you're trying to be cool or appear spiritual, even there's other scribes, Pharisees, rabbis, religious leaders, let alone the miracle worker prophet Jesus and his disciples, he lets all that fly. He runs. And not only does he run, he kneels. He humbles himself. That's pretty cool. He knelt before Jesus and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? All right. If you're taking notes tonight, would you write this down? Great question. Not only did he run to the Lord, whenever you run to Jesus, you're running in the right direction. Whenever you kneel before Jesus, you're in the right position. And whenever you ask, what may I do to inherit eternal life? You're asking the right question. And so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? Then he says, no one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Don't you want to be this guy in the story? I ran to Jesus. I knelt before him. I asked the right question. And then Jesus fell in love with me. That's a pretty cool thing. But then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at his word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Good teacher, I have a question. Jesus, in responding to this young man, as he sees him, there he's looking down at this young man who is on his knees, and Jesus is falling in love with this young guy, and he wants to know the way to eternal life. And he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And as Jesus looks at him, He desires to awaken something in this young man's heart and soul. He wants to awaken him. So he asks a question. Why do you call me good? I love that. Now, there are some commentators, when reading their comments on the Gospel of Mark, that say Jesus is rebuking this young man for calling him good. I don't think so. I don't hear Jesus rebuking this young man. I think that Jesus is asking gently a question. He's drawing something out of this young man. He is simply trying to awaken this young man's conscience. Because either Jesus is saying one of two things. Why do you call me good? Jesus is either saying, I am no good. Or he is saying, because he says, why do you call me good? Because the only one who is good is God. So if you're not saying that I'm not good, then you're saying that I am God. Are you young men calling me God? He's asking, he's kind of putting that back to him. Think about that. There is only one in the universe who is good, and that is God. God is the only uncreated being and or thing in the universe. And isn't it good to know that the eternal, uncreated God is good and not evil and not bad? How many find comfort in that? Man, I do. So this is in harmony with everything that Jesus is saying to him. He's drawing him out. And by Jesus, then, okay, so you're calling me good, and then he brings him to the commandments. Where Jesus is going with this young man is that here is a young man who obviously has a spiritual need and a spiritual desire. In many ways, I see the youth of this generation right now, and you know, as being kind of the second half of the generation, can I just say to the younger generation, I am so sorry for what's being handed to you guys. And I also want to say, it's not fair. It's not right. There's many, you know, burdens that are being passed on to you that are not good, and they are not right, and they are not fair. So here's what Jesus is saying to this next generation and to this young man. Now, the young man was blessed. And there were many, especially at that time and within the Jewish community, that said that prosperity is a sign of God's blessing and a sign of God's favor. So almost culturally, this young man is saying, look, I am greatly loved of God, obviously. Look how well I'm doing, and I'm very rich, and I'm very prosperous, and I'm spiritual to boot. And I want to know the way to inherit eternal life. But Jesus, looking inside this young man's heart and loving him, is saying, yes, you do believe in God. And yes, you do have a spiritual aptitude. And yes, my Father in heaven has blessed you. However, here's where Jesus is going with this young man. And for those who have ears to hear it, and especially, I guess, directed to all of us, but to the young next generation, Jesus said, but there's something missing in your life. And that's why you were drawn to me. Whenever there's something missing in your life, always go to Jesus. Amen? He is the answer. And there are many young people that are being drawn to Jesus and spiritually being drawn to him. But Jesus says, here's your problem. You know about God, you believe in God, you believe that you've been blessed by God, there's certain things that have been given to you, but the problem is, God is not the center of your life. He is not the most important thing in your life. And you have the wrong center for your life. You, who are so blessed and prospered by God, by my Father, have made the blessings the center of your heart rather than the blessor. And so it's a little correction. You need to take, because those blessings and signs of favor can never replace the relationship and the unity and the oneness that my Father can bring. All of that stuff that's in the center of your heart belongs on the outside of the circle of your life. And when it's in its right place, you're going to be fine. So that's where he's going. Jesus says, and it's interesting, in verse 19. So Jesus, well, let's go to verse 18. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good. No one is good but one, and that is God. And then, verse 19, where does Jesus go? He goes to the commandments. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. And honor your father and your mother. Know the commandments. You know the commandments. This young man had a lot of things going in his favor because all of these commandments he was following. There's one commandment that is not mentioned, but that Jesus gets to the heart of. You know, you are not to covet. This young man had so many blessings, and it's the sign he could say that everybody around me says that I am blessed of God because look how prosperous I am. And yet he wasn't happy, wasn't satisfied, he had no assurance of eternal life, something was missing inside of him, and therefore, in that need, he craved more than he already had. He coveted. He wanted more things, which in his mind were more blessings and more signs that God loves me. And Jesus was saying, you've got it all wrong. This young man was respected by others. He had an honorable position within that society for a young man. He had all the manners, and he was a good Jewish boy. He had all the morals. He even honored his mom and dad. He's at the feet of Jesus Christ. But he had a, listen to this, as I mentioned here in your notes, in verse 20. And he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Okay, I followed all those commands. Note here, this young man had a superficial view of spiritual things and a shallow view of salvation. He thought in his own mind, I'm keeping tabs and I believe that I'm doing really good. He thought that you could do certain things and merit eternal life. And he basically was waiting for Jesus to say, you're right, you've checked all the right boxes and you're good to go. But this young man was wrong, and that's why he did not realize, because he was young, and even though he was kind of a rule follower, he was staying in the lines, the reason Jesus brought to him the commandments was not just to judge his outward actions, which he kept in check, but the frustration of the young man was that in his heart there were all kinds of things that were not, you know, going with how he was living on the outside. In other words, you can honor your mom and dad on the outside while you inwardly are bitter against them. And you've broken the commandment. You can outwardly, I've never slept with a girl. But inwardly, you have had relations with them in your mind, within your heart. Lusted after them and broken that commandment. You can, you know, covet. You can break all of the commandments inside while seemingly keeping most of them on the outside and still be far from God. A good works approach to salvation is a shallow understanding of sin and its consequences or its remedy. Now here's what's really bothersome is that, you know, once you go outside of the church and thank God for the church where the Word of God is taught that we can never be good enough or earn our salvation. How many of you know that and are aware of it to your bones? But the majority of human beings in the world think that if you ask them, well, do you think you'll go to heaven? Well, I don't know. I hope so. And well, why should you go to heaven? Well, because I'm not that bad. I do, you know, I try to, you know, I do what's right and I try to, and they have their own little set of rules and they know maybe the golden rule and they know some of the commandments and there's always going to be people that are a lot worse than you. But the standard for getting into heaven is not you compared to other human beings. The standard is you compared to the holiness of God. Now when you make that comparison, how many realize we as human beings are all in trouble? And that we are all in the same boat. So, you know, the best, the one that gave up everything and sacrificed everything and sold everything, and then they become missionaries and they do everything in their life. Wow, they're a little bit higher than maybe some of the rest of us. But the gap between us and the righteousness and the purity and the holiness and the grace and the glory and the light and the love and the fruit of the Spirit of God is astronomical. It's as far as from here to the 93 million miles to the sun. And we are little, you know, microcosms, you know, maybe above this one and less than that one. Humanity is way down here. 93 million miles away is the brightness of the glory and the perfection of God. What's going to cover the difference between us here and that 93 million miles? You can't do enough good works in 70 or 80 years. I'm sorry. You can get as close from Earth to the sun by jumping. How far did you get? And you can jump your whole life of trying to do it by your own willpower and strength and goodness, and you will never get there. This is no doubt why Jesus pointed this young man to the law of God. And a lot of people don't understand the purpose of the law. They think the purpose of the law is that we could do it, and if we do it and keep it, then we're good, and if we're good in our own eyes, then we get to get into heaven. How many of you are aware that's not why God gave the law? Are you aware? Do you know why did God give the law? Why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Yes, to show us the holiness of God. But what about us? What was the law sent to make us righteous? To show us our sin. Do you know what the law was? It was a 10-question test. And the point of the test was for you to fail. If you take the 10-question test and you go, oh, I think I passed, you missed the whole point of the test. You fail. Because we judge it on an outward basis. God, that's why when Jesus came along, he destroyed the whole religious view of religion. Because religion, if you're going to write something out, write this down. Religion manages our outward acts. Relationship is all about the heart. God cares about your heart. Because that's where everything else comes from. That's where everything springs from. Many people in the world believe that God gave the Ten Commandments to kind of keep our, you know, world in check, as it were. But ultimately, the New Testament reveals God gave the law to show us that we were sinners and for the world to cry out, we need a Savior. It was, from the beginning, a schoolmaster lead us to Messiah. And therefore, when this young man on his knees looking up to Jesus, the prophet said, oh man, I'm doing good. I've kept all these from my youth. He just revealed what Jesus already knew. And look, Jesus already knew that, but he was letting him see it. If you think you've followed all of these, even these, from your youth, you don't yet understand. Galatians 2:16 is in your notes. This is just one verse, but it's an important verse. And so let's read it out loud together. Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified. And again, if you have a pen or pencil, the word faith, underline one of the words there, faith, and put next to faith, trust. That word faith also means trust. Sometimes we think of faith as just believing. Well, I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he, you know, said what he said in the Gospels, and I believe that he did miracles, and I believe in the resurrection, and it's this, you know, faith becomes just a mental agreement that these things are true. But faith also means, a way to define it is trust. Say trust. Trust. Trust is yes, I believe these things to be true, but trust is a heart word. God doesn't just want you to believe in him, he wants you to trust him. Right. Trust him with your life, trust him with your weaknesses, trust him with your failures, trust him with everything. That's what God wants. He wants you to trust in him. And the, you know, here's the coolest thing, God is trustworthy. He's worthy to be trusted in. Whatever you are struggling with tonight, and you're kind of holding on to it, and you get tense even thinking about it. Hey, faith means trusting. Lord, I trust in you. I give you my job. I give you my marriage. I give you my kids. I give you this situation. I give you my anxieties. Lord, I am struggling. I can't figure it out. I'm losing sleep. But now I look at you. I trust you. I give it to you. When you trust in God from your heart, you are opening a channel from heaven. You are inviting the power and the glory of heaven itself into your personal heart and life. You are giving God room to move in your circumstances. It's awesome. It's good. Stretch that muscle of faith and let it become trust from your heart. Amen? Many looking at this young man would have concluded that he had everything, but Jesus said the most important thing in this young man's life was what was lacking, a living faith, a living trust in God. And then Jesus, after he says, and he answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. This man's riches were what was keeping him from following Jesus. What is it in your life tonight that is keeping you not only from following, but trusting in Jesus? Do you know that the Lord loves you so much every single day? Do you remember in the Old Testament when God dropped bread from heaven called manna? He said, trust me. He wanted them to trust him. He said, look, there's a couple of million of you, men, women, children, little, you know, babies, and the only one you have to trust in is me. You're in the desert. And I promise you, every morning, manna, fresh bread will fall, and you just go collect it. And you know that God said, now don't, I'm going to be here every day. I'm watching over you. The cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. So you can even see me. He goes, trust me. Now, here's what I don't want you to do. Don't hoard up a bunch of food like, okay, I know he's gave bread today, but maybe the manna won't be there tomorrow. And so they hoard up extra. He goes, I want you to trust me. Guess what happened if they hoarded and tried to get another couple of days just in case God doesn't show up? What happened to that bread? It became rotten. Is it not true that if you load up your pantry with more bread than you can eat in a week, some of it's going to turn green and spoil? You have more than you need. God was saying, look, I'm going to show up. Trust me. Let me tell you this. As a child of God, God loves you so much, he's going to give you bread every day. He's going to give you what you need day by day. Learn to live one day at a time, especially in crazy times. And you and I have been privileged to be able to live in crazy times. Don't worry about the future. And don't worry about tomorrow. God's already there. And therefore, and you know what? Let me also say this, and this is kind of a word from the Lord for you. Not only is he going to provide you daily bread, but God directs us and guides us by where he puts the bread. He gives you direction like, oh, the bread's over there. I guess I'll go over there, And he's leading you. And the next day it's a little further and, you keep walking. And sometimes we don't pay attention. God leaves. He doesn't just leave breadcrumbs. Sometimes he leaves a whole loaf of bread. Follow the bread.
Pastor Ray Bentley, with good insight today on putting our full faith and trust in God. And there's more to come in this study. Now, today's broadcast is available on CD for just $7. Get in touch and ask for the message called All Things Possible with God. And you can now get Pastor Ray's entire series in Mark on a single CD, MP3s of every one of Pastor Ray's messages from this series on one compact disc. Order online at maranatharadio.com. Or here's where to write, Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Do you like surprises? Well, you'll find a number of them in Pastor Ray's brand new book called The Holy Land Key. It's for those who are real students of Bible prophecy and for those who want to be. And it digs deeper and uncovers insights perhaps you've never heard before. Some of the things Pastor Ray uncovered surprised even him.
I think one of the most unique characters that totally blew my mind that I found out is probably Jewish was Christopher Columbus. It has huge implications for the United States, for our country, for America, but also for the relationship between Jews and Gentiles.
For many years, Pastor Ray has partnered with God's people in Israel, including Judea and Samaria, the area known as the West Bank. Now he's combined that unique perspective with his knowledge of Bible prophecy to bring you the Holy Land Key. The subtitle is Unlocking End Times Prophecy Through the Lives of God's People in Israel. You'll see how God's master plan can be seen in the seven feasts of the Lord. And Pastor Ray explains the many ways Israelis are hearing from God today. Let us send you your own personal copy of the Holy Land Key. It's available in our online store at maranatharadio.com. And if you have occasion to join Pastor Ray for one of his weekend services at Maranatha Chapel in northern San Diego County, be sure to catch him after the service and let him know you listen to Maranatha Radio. Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in the Gospel of Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.